Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
Pastors Rod and Val do send greetings. They are in Colorado with family. I saw a picture that Val posted. Thank God for Florida. Thank God for Florida. If you happen to see the picture on Facebook, Rod was probably inside because Rod doesn't like snow. I admire that in Rod. He does not like snow. Val likes it to where I think you can see about that much of her. She loves so much. So I do hope that they leave it in Colorado. If you have a way to reach out to them, let them know our biggest challenge yesterday was shoveling 6 inches of sunshine so that we didn't have to worry about that. Didn't it seem like Christmas was just 3 months ago? 2 months ago, it's time to start our Christmas shopping. I won't ask how many men, as we mentioned last week, started their Christmas shopping Friday night on Christmas Eve. But it seems like it was just, I don't know, comes and goes so quick, doesn't it? We build all of this time and energy up to the great event, and then we celebrate with our families, we celebrate quietly, alone, however we celebrate. And then it's the next day. Today's December the 26th. And I think our hearts were really prepared as Pastor Rod shared his Christmas series. Just about, again, how good God is to us and how loving he is and the things that we needed to prepare our hearts to celebrate the day of Christmas. If you missed any of those messages, I encourage you to go back and look at them. But God's goodness is beyond. We can take our best definition of goodness. We could all get together this morning and have input on what our definition of goodness is and get all the strong points, the positive words, all the good words, and we'd still fall short of what God's goodness is all about. So we are so thankful. But what I do know about the birth of Jesus, one of the greatest events in history. And among theologians, there's some discussion about did it really happen on December 25th or was it another time of the year? And, you know, if you want to get involved in that and if you're a much deeper thinker than I am and you want to figure all that out, wonderful. I celebrate it December the 25th. I celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. But the birth, and we see all of the plays and the movies and the different actors and how they portray the birth of Jesus. Most of the time we see a wooden manger. How many of you saw the Chosen Christmas movie? A good number of you. That helped explain a little bit more about what I'd read before. Probably wasn't wooden. It was probably stone, concrete, whatever you want to call that material of the day. It wasn't real pleasant. It was a tough time for Mary. I did see recently that one of our most favorite songs, Silent Night, the way that came around, is Joseph following Mary around. He says, I know I should have made reservations. I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? And there was a silent night because she didn't talk to him all night. I don't know if that's true or not, but guys, ladies, you may understand that. But what I do know is that I do not know anything about what childbirth is about. Again, I read one time that when a woman goes through childbirth, she almost understands what it's like when a man has a cold. Almost, but not quite. Some of the nervous laughter tells me that's been conversations in your homes. You know, I mean, do you see the picture that when a woman has a cold or she's not feeling well, what's she doing? Taking care of the kids, washing the dishes, vacuuming the laundry. And what's the guy doing? If he's been able to get the energy to get up out of his bed and get to the sofa, he's laying on the sofa, barely speaking, barely just utter the words, would you bring me something to drink? Would you bring me a turkey sandwich if it's the day after Christmas? Oh, I need an aspirin, but it's all the way over on that table, and I just don't think I can do it. So there is a little bit of difference how generally men and women go through things. But that's a topic we could get into more at another time. But one thing I do know is the birth of Jesus was prophesied. It was predicted. It was talked about for many, many, many years. More years than any of us have ever been alive. Hundreds of years people talked about the birth of Jesus. And if you think about that, if you're talking about something's going to happen in the future, you get a picture in your mind of how you think that's going to happen. I dare to say that it didn't happen like anybody's picture in their mind of how it was going to happen. But it happened the way it did for a reason. But now what? You know, this big event. What now? What now? I mean, does life just go back to the way it was before the event? Not for Mary and Joseph. You know, they had a little bit fewer luxuries than moms and dads today. You know, it's been joyful, and I'll confess right here, almost comical, as John and Jesse have gone through the birth of our newest granddaughter almost 7 weeks ago. And we think of the luxuries we have. You know, the birthing room. I wasn't there, but I've seen birthing rooms with my own children, and they're like, and that was 30-some years ago. Now I understand they are like amazing. The, you know, everything's clean, and the team's so coordinated, and they orchestrate things so well. They do hearing tests, and they take footprints, and they check this, and they check that, and a lot of things that Mary and Joseph didn't have access to. You know, things like, you know, we used to have baby monitors. Remember the ones with the static? And you were in the other room, and it looked like, did they cough, or was that static? You know, are they crying, or is that a noise in the baby monitor? We don't use just regular baby monitors anymore. We've got video monitors. I mean, you can look at it and make sure the chest is rising and falling and breathing. I'm not saying any of those things are bad, but we have many, many luxuries. What about strollers now? The strollers that the car seat fits into. What a luxury. And the strollers for you moms that, again, are heroes that are, I can't imagine a man actually jogging after giving birth, but some of these moms put their babies in these strollers that have these big wheels and run. They run with their babies. What a luxury there is. Disposable diapers. Anybody in here brave enough to admit that when their kids were little that they didn't use disposable diapers, maybe because they didn't exist? John, sorry, you just don't have a clue until you have to wash out a diaper. When you can just fold it up and throw it in the trash. Count yourself lucky. Again, that's probably one of the duties that mom does more, one than dad. And Mary and Joseph didn't have Meemaw and Jeepaw around to help spoil them. I don't know how they survived in those days. You know, there are many other events in life that people work up to. They spend a lot of time and energy and maybe money building up to. You can probably think of some of these events in your own life. Graduation from high school, getting married, maybe the honeymoon, maybe buying a house, maybe having children of your own, getting that dream job, that dream car, getting that promotion at work. Maybe it's an Olympic athlete getting that gold medal. They spend years building up to it. And then there's that milestone, that event in their life. And after that's over, you can ask the question, what now? I mean, life is not going to be the same because of this magnificent thing that has happened in our lives, but it's not the same. So we ask, what now? What's next? So much of our lives have been poured into this, but what now? Did you know that after reaching major milestones, especially to the magnitude of something like an Olympic gold medal, a lot of athletes fall into a deep depression? I mean, they actually go through counseling and they have programs set up because it's like the next Olympics is 4 years away. You know, we've just built up all this physical training and emotion to get to this point. And what now? People, you know, be in the news for a few days, but a month from now, people won't know my name. People won't think about how many gold medals that I have won. But we can't just stop life there. We need to know what's next? What now? So as we celebrate a major good event in our lives, afterwards there's some things we should do and some things we shouldn't do. One of the things I love about the Bible is there's so much direction, so much guidance. I mean, some of it's very theological, and I don't claim to understand all of it, but there is so much practical advice. We've heard it referred to as the owner's manual of life. And in a lot of ways, it's true. It may not tell you why the baby's not sleeping or does the diaper need to be changed, but there's so much practical information in the Bible. You know, one of the things that through the years of leading Financial Peace University, question comes up a lot. Should we co-sign a loan, like for our kids or a friend? Did you know in the Bible it says don't co-sign a loan? Did you know that? I mean, it's so practical. Who would have thought that way back when the Bible was written, the book of Proverbs, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years ago, that God knew, somebody knew, that we would need to know that the Bible says don't co-sign a loan. So it's so much practical advice there. And as we navigate through life and if we figure out what to do and what not to do, we shouldn't think we're so special. We shouldn't think it's all about us. We shouldn't be prideful and think that we've got it all figured out. So as 2020 comes to an end and we look forward to 2022, and you do realize this may do something in your mind, but the way we say it is 2022. Just keep in mind that's the number two and not T-O-O, not also. It's not going to be a repeat of 2020, okay? In Jesus' name, we're not going to do that. So let's start in seeing what God's Word says about this. Philippians 4:8. Man, such a popular verse, but if you're like me, you need reminders. So this message is one that God's been working on with me for several months. That's one of the benefits when you only speak every 3 or 4 or 5 months is God, He lays something in my mind, in my heart, and He works on me. And as I share it, I hope there's some things that maybe you'll benefit from. And then sometimes He gives us great confirmation. As I was up this morning, had my cup of coffee, and I was sitting out on the lanai, and I was reading a morning devotion by Pastor Rick Warren. He touched on 3 things that we're going to touch on today. I didn't add them this morning. They've been in print for several weeks now. So let's look at Philippians 4:8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And then in Proverbs 4:25, keep your eyes focused on what is right. Keep looking straight ahead to what is good. Now, these are obviously instructions on what to do. Think about the things that are contained in these verses. If we fix our thoughts and we know where our mind goes, so we go, right? We'll talk about that more in a minute. But think about thoughts that are true. So we shouldn't repeat things that we hear if we don't know that they're true. Shocker, just because it's on Facebook doesn't mean it's true. Have you heard what they've said about the fact checkers lately? The fact checkers have admitted it's their opinion. So just because we hear it or see it doesn't necessarily mean that it's true. And honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. And then keep your eyes focused on what is right. Keep looking straight ahead to what is good. I know in my life, and I would suggest in yours, that if we focus on those things, there's not a lot of time to focus on things we don't need to be focusing on. I have a certain amount of capacity up here. All of our capacities are different. Some of you are, I'm still running like a PC 386. Some of you are, you know, you're up into Mac Pros and stuff. But we all have a certain amount of capacity up here. The more we fill ourselves with good things, the less room we have for bad things. That's through our mouths. I'm wearing this shirt today because it's my slimming shirt. It's the one that shows this to leave. So the things we take in through our mouth, the things we take in through our ears, the things we take in through our eyes. You know, you can't unsee things. You can't unhear things. Have you watched one of those kind of goofy courtroom shows to where the judge will tell a jury, disregard that last statement? What does that cause them to do? Think about it more. So once we consume things, they're there. So I would suggest for myself, and again, instead of my iPad, I probably would have a mirror sitting up here so that I can just talk to that. And again, hopefully you'll get something out of it. But the more we consume of good things, the less room there's going to be for bad things. In Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. I hope these instructions and this message comes across as encouraging, because being told not to do something can be just as encouraging being told what to do. Because if we don't do what we're not supposed to do, we can do more of what we're supposed to do. I wasn't sure how that was going to come out, but I think it came out right. So don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Again, the way we think determines the type of person we're going to be. Things that enter our mind. You know, it's just like our brain is the epicenter of what our bodies do. Our brain tells our body what to do when it comes to our legs moving and our arms moving, our heart beating, voluntary and involuntary things. The things we take in through our mind also control who we are. So we think about this and look at that and say, well, it's nice guidance and I understand that, but what if we just don't know what we're supposed to think about that situation, about that person, about that question, about that issue in my own life? We're not off the hook. Let's see what James 1:5 says. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to who? To all. If all include you, please raise your hand. I know some of you, if I said, if you raise your hand, I'd give you a $100 bill, you wouldn't raise your hand. But even if you didn't raise your hand, all includes all of us, without finding fault, and it will be given to you. You know, these principles apply the same whether we're going through the best times of life or the roughest times of life. Whether it's the death of a loved one, the loss of a job, or the birth of a loved one and getting a new job. These principles work the same. We just may have to apply them a little differently depending on what we're going through. So please allow me to provide some practical guidance and advice as we navigate where you are and where I am in life. Priorities are important, and the Bible provides wise and practical direction. Again, I'll speak for myself, and you may relate. I find time and ways to do the things I want to do, and I find excuses and ways out of not doing the things I don't want to do. Does anybody else relate to that? And that can be a good thing, but if we really want to do something, God will give us what we need to do it if it's what we're supposed to be doing. So how do we set priorities? Again, we go to the Bible. In Mark 12:30, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. Think that'll keep us busy? If we're doing all that, how much extra time do we have? Well, we have a little bit, because the next verse tells us something else. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Now, don't interpret this to mean that it's not important to take care of yourself. It is important for you to take care of yourself and your family. We'll read this verse and then we'll talk about it a few minutes. In 1 Timothy 5:8, but those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers. I'll take this a step further. If you don't take care of yourself, you cannot help others. If you are not at a certain level of health, mentally, physically, emotionally, it's very difficult or maybe impossible to help others. You know, think about the instructions you get from a flight attendant. Probably most everybody in here has flown on a plane, and they teach you how to do your seatbelt and, you know, which door to jump out of if the plane's, you know, crashing into the water and all that fun stuff. But they talk about if there's a loss of cabin pressure and the oxygen mass drops down. Say you're traveling with your small children or grandchildren. What do they say to do with the very first mask that pops down? Put your own on. Now, you know, as a parent, as a grandparent's heart, what do we want to do? Oh my goodness, I want to make sure that I get oxygen on that child. But why is it important that we put our own on first? Because if you pass out, you're not going to be able to help the child. So it's very important that we not react out of emotion and think, I want to help the child. By helping yourself, you are helping the child. And I would suggest that that is the same when it comes to helping others. We need to be somewhat healthy. We don't wait until we're perfect. We don't wait until we got it all together. That's called heaven. This is earth. We're not there yet. So as we start to discuss some practical steps to take, let's not fall into the trap of comparing ourselves to others. You know, I had a pastor one time that said, compare leads to despair. Because we can find, in every area of our life, we can find people better off than we are. And we can find people that we're better off than they are, at least on the surface. We don't really have a clue on what's going on behind closed doors. So it's not important for me to compare myself to Fred or Harland or Jerry or Maria or Sue or anybody else. What's important for me to compare myself to is take a glimpse at where was I 3, 6, 12 months ago. But more importantly, remember, we're focusing forward. Where am I going to be? 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months from now. You know, we got a couple of, at least a couple that I know of, maybe more of crazy people here at Coastal. I mean, I know a couple that after they drop their kids off for church, for school every morning, they go running. I won't mention Fred and Denise's name. I would never put them on the spot like that and embarrass them. Wow. Getting healthy, right? Getting healthier. I'm not going to say who chases who or who outruns who, but I can just tell. Fred, do you? Me, so we can't do that. All I can say is I'm not a runner. If you see me running, don't ask anything. Just start running. Something bad's getting ready to happen, okay? If you see Fred and Denise running down, you know, one of the roads that don't have the running and bike lanes in it, just move over a little bit so your mirror doesn't hit them in the back of the head. That's what we ask. But one of the goals is 3, 6, 12 months from now to be better runners, to be healthier, their heart, their cardiovascular and lung system being better. So we're going to talk about some things about how do we get healthy in other areas of our lives. You know, there are some things the Bible, again, is very clear about that apply to all of us. We can look at the Ten Commandments. They apply to everybody. I don't care if you're white, black, male, female, short, tall, young, old, skinny, less skinny, you know, whatever mold you fit. So the Ten Commandments are a great place to start. And we could probably, most of us could name them. And, you know, it's the big ones we call them. And do not murder. You know, even in a society, very tribal, primitive area that doesn't have the Bible and the Ten Commandments. If there's any civilization there at all, they probably agree on the fact that we shouldn't murder. It's not good to steal. And then there's things in the Ten Commandments we should do. Honor our father and mother. So you have some things you shouldn't do and some things that you should do. We're not going to review them all today, but if you want to brush up on them as we get ready to start the new year, 20th chapter of Exodus is a great way to start and a great place to go. But, you know, some instructions in life are not that specific. A lot of things we read in the Bible, we get principles. We get guidance because it doesn't address a specific area. There were not computers back in Jesus' day that we're aware of. None recorded in the Bible. No computers. Computers are like money. They're amoral. Computers in themselves are not good. Computers in themselves are not bad. It's what we do with computers, like what we do with money, that can make money good and make money bad. In James 4:17, and this is a verse that may be convicting, may be assuring, but for me it's assuring. It says, "And when a person knows the right thing to do, but does not do it, then he is sinning." So I would suggest to you that there may be some things that God tells Kimberly to do or not to do that he doesn't necessarily tell Sharon to do or not to do. The things in themselves are not right or wrong. They're not sin based on the face of them, but based on where they are in life, their relationship with God and how they communicate with him and he with them, then it can be right or wrong for us. Let me give you a very practical example of this from my life. Years ago, I drank alcohol. I didn't drink often. I wasn't drinking every day, but when I drank, I didn't drink well. I'll just say that, okay? You can figure out what that is. In very early in 1999, the last time that I drank alcohol, it didn't go real well. Again, didn't kill anybody, you know, no major things like that, but the night did not go well. What convicted me inside, and I wasn't walking with the Lord then. I'd walked away from God in the church, was when I woke up the next morning, let's just say not feeling well, you know, feeling very poorly. The thing that went through my mind was we lived in a two-story house. And when we moved into that house, we bought, have you seen the chain ladders that you buy, like you can hook over the window? This is the sill or the window frame or whatever of a window, and you throw the chain ladder out. Like if there's a fire at the bottom of the steps, you know, you can climb down the ladder. It hit me that if something would have happened that night, I could have done nothing to help my family. Probably couldn't have gotten myself. Well, I could have fallen out of the window, but that's not the goal. I could have done nothing. I felt, and within the next few months is when I started getting my life back on track with God. And as part of that process, I felt very clearly that God told me not to drink alcohol again. None. Now, does the Bible say you can't drink alcohol? No, I don't see that in there anywhere. The Bible doesn't say you can't have a glass of wine or have a drink of alcohol. The guidance for everybody is that we should not get drunk. We should not get intoxicated off of anything except Holy Spirit. So we should not get intoxicated. So I can be in your home or at a restaurant with you and you can have a glass of wine with your dinner and I'm perfectly good with that. I don't feel, ooh, I hope nobody sees me with this person drinking alcohol or whatever. I'm not tempted with it. I don't feel bad for you or anything. God has told me not to drink. So I believe that if I were to drink one drink of alcohol, I would be sinning. Make sense? There may be some areas in your life like that. But I will tell you before I move on from my alcohol thing, my experience as a police officer and a pastor, I have never seen a lot of drinking help any individual or any family. I've seen the use of alcohol. And I used to say I've seen alcohol, but I don't blame it on alcohol. I've seen the use of alcohol destroy people, families, jobs. We can just go right down the line. But again, no extra charge for that. You just make your decision on your own. But I would venture to say, if you'll do some of the things that we're getting ready to talk about, that you'll see some things that'll fall into those categories of it's not spelled out in the Bible, but God speaking very clearly to me, speaking very clearly to you of some things to do and not to do. So one of the best places to start for that guidance is where? Please say the Bible. I do preach from an iPad, but all the verses from the iPad came in here, okay? I just have to put a few more words in there, so I stick to that. I don't keep you here till 3 o'clock. That wouldn't be good. So how do we know the right things to do? We start in the Bible. There are so many ways. And again, I don't suggest there's one perfect way that fits everybody. There are annual reading plans. There are plans where you start in the beginning in Genesis and read all the way through to maps. you know, in the back. There are chronological Bibles. There are devotionals. There's a lot of different ways to read through the Bible. I don't think it's as important how you read through the Bible as it is that we read through the Bible. As we read through the Bible, I would encourage you, and one of the, I enjoy the read through the year plan, but one of the things that I have to guard myself again is we should read for depth and not distance. It's great, and in a few days, Candace and I have 4 more days left. We have, together, except our couple of weeks of COVID, we have read through the whole Bible this year. First time we've ever done it together, and that's a great thing. But I struggle understanding when I'm reading 3, 4, 5 chapters a day. Nothing wrong with it. It's good because there's been things that I've read earlier this year that have come back from my to my remembrance, like God's Word says they will. But for me, I get much more out of it when I read for depth. When I take a passage, a verse, a chapter, or whatever, and read it. May need to read it once, may need to read it twice, may need to read it 3 times, may need to read some notes about it. Just remember when we read this thing, there's a line across the page. Above the line is Scripture. Below the line is opinion, interpretation, and comment. But it's better for me, and I learn more, and I get more out of it when I read for depth. Instead of saying I read 5 chapters, I read 5 verses, but I really understand what they mean. In John 14:26, the Holy Spirit's role in helping us understand. But the Helper will teach you everything and will cause you to remember all that I told you. This Helper is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. So Holy Spirit will help you understand, help me understand what's in the Bible. The second thing after and in conjunction with reading the Bible is praying. I'm sure we all have some idea what prayer is. My challenge is to you, don't overcomplicate prayer. You know, if we're not careful, we'll try to use big words other people have used if we don't understand. That's careful. I mean, that's dangerous because if we're not careful, God will give us things we asked for. We didn't know what we were asking for. May not be something you really wanted. But don't overcomplicate prayer. Prayer is a conversation. In a conversation, it's talking and listening. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because Pastor Rod did a great series on prayer earlier this year. We're going to talk about a few things, but if you want to get deeper in how Jesus taught us to pray, go back online, on the church website, or the church app, and review or listen to for the first time to those series. So, you agree with me, it's a good idea to use Jesus as our example in life. Knowing he was perfect, he was God, we're not. He was God, he was man. If you've got that 100% figured out, please chat with me afterwards. I'm still working on that. But Jesus was perfect. But let's see how he set the example. In Luke 1:35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Some things I love about that verse that really fit how I'm created. One is, while it was still dark, early in the morning, I love mornings. You know, some people would love mornings better if they started about noon. And I understand that. But I love mornings. I love when it's still dark. I love when it's quiet. You know, there aren't any distractions of the day yet. Again, get coffee, go out on the lanai and just have quiet time. One of the things since we've moved here to Florida that I've appreciated and enjoyed is being able to come down to Flagler Beach for sunrises. Each January 1st, I start my year. I usually get to the beach about an hour before the sun comes up. Sometimes I need my hoodie. It can be a little chilly January 1st. But start my year quietly with God. Not just my mornings, but start my year. I can't tell you what it's done to where he's given me a glimpse of what the day, the week, the year is going to hold. So if you like mornings, or maybe if you don't like mornings, try that a time or two to come down to the beach or some quiet place in the mornings. to be alone with God. And then in Luke 6:12, another example that Jesus set for us. One of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. You know, it seems like people live near the beach want to go to the mountains. People live near the mountains want to go to the beach. But two of the greatest creations that God gave us to enjoy are the beach and the mountains. So if you don't want to go to the beach, maybe find a place in the mountains to go. But Jesus spent the night praying to God. Didn't say he, you know, said a little rote prayer or he said a couple of words. He spent the night. And I'm thinking if Jesus needed that kind of guidance from the Father, maybe I do. So Jesus also taught his disciples to pray and gave us a template to use when we pray. We commonly refer to this prayer as the Lord's Prayer, and we find it in Matthew 6 and Luke 11. I'm not going to go into that prayer and try to teach anything from that this morning, but again, go back and listen and watch the series Pastor Rod taught earlier in the year. Another way to know what is now for us is surrounding yourself with like-minded believers. Man, can't emphasize that enough. What you're doing here today, and listening to the message is one thing, but the interactions that happen before the service ever starts, the interactions that happen afterwards during the service, your coffee times during the week, your with like-minded believers, please don't underestimate how important that is. Again, the Bible tells us how important it is. Hebrews 10:25, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And one of the greatest things we can do when we do meet together, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, Paul repeats this numerous times. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. Do you know how important it is to be encouraged and be built up? When there's truth to be told and you're not living the way God wants you to, there can be encouragement and being corrected too. It may not feel like it at the time. But the power that you have to encourage and build each other up and spur one another on, as the Word talks about, is so important. If you listen to the news, if you read the news, if you're on social media, there's not a lot of that going on. You know, somebody could be right 99% of the time in their life. They really mess up one time, and that's what you hear about. So we have the opportunity to set the example in that area. So build each other up. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And then the final recommendation I'll make, there are many, but these are just four I picked. As you navigate the journey of determining your now what, is seeking wise counsel. You know, sometimes we're making a decision and get our blinders on, especially if it's something we really want. It's easy to justify things, even if it's not the best thing. Proverbs 12:15, fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. Now, we can move those phrases around a little bit and do all kinds of things. So if you don't listen to others, you're not wise. I don't know if you get that out of it. Fools think their own way is right. Your way may be right, but not necessarily. So it's wise to seek the counsel of others. Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. So I would suggest to you this morning that if you read the Bible, that if you pray, if you hang out with other believers, and you seek godly counsel, you will discover what's next, the what now for you. And they're on the screen there if you would like to see them together. So musicians, if you would make your way back up here, and we're going to close in a song in a few minutes, but I just want to pray with us for us as we wind down this year. Been some wonderful things this year. I'm so thankful for. So, Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your faithfulness that we have sung about and talked about this morning. I thank you for your word. Thank you for how a friend of mine of 48 years told me this week he's fallen in love with your word again, and just how much joy it's brought to his heart. Father, I pray each one of us here will have a deeper hunger for your word. That it won't be a chore, it won't be a task, it won't be just something that we think we need to do, but we will genuinely just can't wait to open your word, to hear your words, to see your words, to apply your words. Father, I pray that every person in this room will have a desire to pursue the future that you have for them. Father, that their lives, our lives, will fall in line with the big things, the guidance that you give all of us. And then we'll have the courage and the desire to seek out the things that you have for us personally and individually. I don't want to make any assumptions this morning from people that are in the room or people that may be watching live this morning or may watch or listen to this message days, weeks, months down the line. But before any of this works, there's a prerequisite. Yes, we can learn a little bit from it, but before this works the way it's supposed to work, we need to have that relationship with God. There's nothing you can do to make him love you any more or any less. I don't understand that, because our love is conditional, but his is so unconditional. His word tells us that he loved us while we were still sinners. So if you have made that commitment to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because that is the only way that you can have a relationship with him, Father that created you. And hallelujah. Whether it was yesterday, a month ago, or 50 years ago. Hallelujah. But if you have not established that relationship, I want to give you an opportunity to. And I love this example Pastor Ron has set and the way we do it each week, because we should die for ourselves daily. When we wake up in the mornings, we should, my opinion, we should commit ourselves again. It's not getting saved again. It's not salvation again. It's not finding Jesus for the first time. There's nothing better we can do than to say, God, thank you for your love and goodness. Thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you would like to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there's no magic in words. It's not about saying a prayer. That's an expression of what's coming out of your heart and out of your mouth. So church, let's pray along out loud. If you've never done this and you would like to establish that relationship with God, repeat after me. Father, thank you for your goodness and faithfulness. Thank you for your son Jesus, who was born on this earth, lived his life here, crucified, buried, and resurrected. Paid the price for all our sins. I accept you today as my Lord and my Savior. And I pray you'll guide me on my journey of becoming the man or woman that you created me to be. In Jesus' name.
Together.